Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week I'll speak to a new guest with an inspiring job. We talk to journalists, marketers, sales managers, ballet dancers, you name it. We hear about their personal paths to doing what they do, the skills required, and the tools they use for the job. I am Laura Leoncini, and today my guest is Varasha William. She's occupational doctor in Bergen, Norway. I find this interview is interesting because it shows alternatives to medical students who like the preventive aspect of medicine, as you're concerned with the maintenance of health in the workplace. Also interesting is this to step out of the hospital environment and to be in direct contact with professionals from various industries. Here's Varasha. Hi Varasha, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. And great that a friend of ours, a common friend, put us in touch during the holidays.
Yeah.
So, as it happens. And I'm very happy because I haven't covered your occupation yet. So I'll be happy to hear about your job as an occupational doctor. Can you tell me more about it?
So occupational doctor means that I work with occupations, as the title says. It means that I go around to different workplaces and do health assessments and also risk assessments about the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And also try to improve the work environment. That is like the main, well, the overall, yeah, work.
Okay. And what kind of occupations do you include right now?
So right now I do a lot of oil rigs, seafarers, but I also have hotel employees, factory workers, shopkeepers, people who work with animals. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And do you work for a company or like a hospital or who is your employer?
And my employer is actually a private company, but we do have collaboration with the hospital department of occupational medicine. So it's, yeah, the company works with them as well.
Okay. And we were talking about it before. This has been a few years in your job. What were you doing before?
First, I was pursuing a career in surgery, but I just couldn't cope with the long hours, the night shifts. And yes, it was just not for me. So I just tried to find something out of hospital because I wanted to have a more routine day, kind of routine work. Mm. And okay. Not in the way that it's like the same every day, but more a fixed time.
Yeah, okay. So not having to do extra hours or yeah. Your night shift and so. Okay, so that's interesting because it's because I know that when you're a doctor, you know that there's a high risk that this is what you end up doing, you know, working at, you know, around the clock and then having a very unbalanced work life, basically. And so it's good to know that there are options out there for doctors. And which brings me to the next question. You have studied medicine at university, right?
Yes, at the University of Bergen.
Of Bergen, okay. And so you did your, you know, basic years of study and then the specialization, is that right?
Yes, well, this is my specialization in occupational medicine.
Okay.
So I finished medical school in 2019, and then I did my internship, which is 1.5 years. And mm-hmm. then I worked for a year just trying to figure out what I wanted to specialize in.
And the internship was about general medicine, or was it?
Yeah, well, it's 1 year where you rotate at different hospital wards. So you do internal medicine, surgery, psychiatry, and you also do general practitioner work in districts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Since you were younger, did you have this special attraction to medicine?
No, not me. My mom did, but not me.
Your mom, okay.
My mom is a nurse, so she always liked working with people. And I grew up around hospitals because, well, she was working there. So I had this, and she had this thing that I would also like working with people. But I actually started doing engineering subjects, and then I did cybernetics before I quit that because I couldn't do the coding. And then I did a bachelor's degree in molecular biology, and I wanted to do marine biology because I love the ocean, love the sea creatures and all that.
Okay.
And then, I just figure out I wanted to work with people instead of working in a laboratory. I'm more social, so it kind of got switched to medicine.
Okay. So there was a switch based of based on some internal decision and also a bit of your mom and or family pointing you.
Yeah, because I realized that if I work in molecular biology, it's a lot of laboratory work, and I wanted to be more connected to people. And in my current job, I meet people every day, like
every
new
day,
people,
yeah,
new job every day. So. Yeah.
So far, so good then about your choice. Okay. I know it's interesting because you never know. Sometimes you idolize a job because you think, I love marine life and so forth. I interviewed someone in like a psychologist, and then she told me something I never thought of. She said that her job is actually a very solitary one. Despite the fact that one might think, you have so many, patients and stuff, but you're actually on your own and you rarely spend time with colleagues. So if you're more of a social, want to have a sociable job, that might not be the one for you. So so that's interesting. So tell me a bit more about your passage from university years to where you're now.
From university, yes, I did the internship, as I mentioned, and then I was going towards orthopedic surgery. Then the night shift hours were like 18 hours of work, and it's really tiring. And now, as an occupational doctor, I learned that only 10% of night shift workers actually manage to work that way long term. So, I'm the group of people who are not cut out for night shift work, and I'm happy to acknowledge that. And I'm also happy that there are people who are cut out for it, and they are welcome to do it.
When you say you have to specialize, is that a few years? Is it 1 year specialization?
No, it's actually 5 years of specialization. I'm in my third year almost in February. Yeah, so it's 5 years. It's like 11 mandatory courses. We have a group session where we talk to other doctors and share information and guidance. So yeah,
So you're working and studying at the same time?
Yes, we have study days where we can go like in depth on certain subjects, and we can visit like hospital wards and learn more about allergies, chemical, biological hazards, different kind of things that we can use in our work.
I see. Okay. So 5 years or so, you still need to finish. And then once you are an actual specialist, then will you continue with your present job, or will you look for other opportunities, or will your present job end at the end of your specialization?
No, I think I will continue with my job, but I want to be more specific in the type of industry I work with. Kind of like if I want to work with oil or maritime as before, like marine and all that. I do work with the petroleum workers, offshore workers now, and seafarers, and I find that really interesting. So we'll see.
What is interesting? Tell me more about the oil rigs and the seafarers. What is it that you need to assess or do with them?
Well, for example, on oil rigs, the workers are exposed to a lot of different chemicals, gases. There's a lot of diesel exhaust from the pipes. There's oil mud that has different chemical compounds that they might be exposed to. So we have to assess how much they are exposed to this and if it affects their health. Some people have allergic reactions. Some people develop lung disease and all these things. So we do lung tests regularly when we certify offshore workers. And also, they need to be certified every 2 years. So it's quite often.
Okay, so you do the certification for them.
And the same for seafarers, and it's also a mental health issue because you're away from home for long stretches of time. And they work 12-hour shifts. So it's 12 hours day shifts for 1 week and then 12 hours night shift for the second week. And 12-hour night shifts for a week is pretty hard on the body.
It's intense. Yeah, for sure. So what are you finding? What's the interesting part about this job right now that you're doing in terms of oil rigs and the marine field?
I find that there are a lot of different kind of people who work with the same job. So, you know, you kind of have an image of oil workers or, you know, seafarers or whatever. But there's so many different personalities and people who work with the same job and have different requirements and different needs to be able to do the same job. So I find that really interesting. And my job is obviously to help them be able to do their job. So in that way, I find it rewarding if I can.
And so what's the turn is like, how long do you spend with the people that you need to, you know, examine and then certify?
Well, certification is not that long. It's normally some lab work and then a certification. It takes like 1 hour in the office. But when you do like individual health assessments for a group, you usually go on the rig or they come to you for a whole day from 8 a.m. to 4 or 5 p.m.
Okay. And during that time, what do you do with them?
So they come in, we ask them what they are exposed to of chemicals and physiological things as well, muscle, skeletal pain, if they have any mental health issues, all this. They do a lung capacity test, spirometry it's called, and we test the lung function. We also check cholesterol, blood sugar levels, blood pressure, and sometimes if it's necessary, do an ECG. Because, you know, stress-related illness is quite common in certain jobs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of a big element of psychology in your job that you need to study.
Yeah.
So what kind of, is it different from like the standard, you know, general medicine approach? Like do you have like a pretty set, you know, amount of hours of studying or subjects that you need to study in terms of psychological for the psychological approach? Because I guess you're you know, halfway, you know, half doctor, general doctor, specializing with psychological and a psychological approach where you need to be, of course, quite hands-on, right?
So we do a lot of work with like what we call psychosocial work environment, which is the individual but also the group in the work environment. So we need to learn, we have actually courses on that where we learn to assess these situations. Other than that, there's all the knowledge from medical school that we have to use in different settings. Yeah, I think the approach is obviously in occupational medicine is always preventative. So we try to prevent things from happening before they happen. Right. That's the main difference from hospital, because in hospitals you have to treat something that's already happened.
Already there, yeah, right? I see.
So we need to kind of assess and risk assess before it happens and prevent the workers from getting sick, which is a different approach, I would say.
Okay, and if they get sick, are you the one examining them then? Or is it going to be different?
Yeah, it depends on the disease. The platform chief has to let us know, and then we refer them to whichever department they need to go to. An emergency would obviously be like to the emergency ward, but yeah, anything else, we can do an assessment and they can come to us, yeah.
Does it mean that you need to travel a lot? Like, do you go to them or do they come to an office when you examine them or interview them?
Both, actually. I have been on oil rigs and they have come to me. So it's both, whichever is practical for the people.
Okay. And then there's a recurring time for examinations? Like you said, there was a certification every few months?
Yeah, every second year is a certification. So we try to do the individual assessment every second year as well with second the certification. Year. Yeah, but that's two different things, right? So the individual assessment is their individual health, and then the certification is their specific requirements to be certified. So, yeah.
Okay. So are there any specific skills that you would say are required for your job? I mean, I'm talking about soft as well as hard skills.
Yeah, I think soft skills is, you know, problem solving is really important because we have to assist the employers with problem solving in different cases. And creativity, adaptability, because there's so many different industries that we work with that, yeah, you have to be able to see solutions for all these different industries. And obviously, as a doctor, communication skills are key to having a successful relationship with your patients and, you know, the trust and all that, which helps giving them the best treatment possible.
Yeah, I see. Now, going back to the variety of your, you know, of the fields that you need to treat, then you need to, yeah, address to it. When you're speaking about healthcare workers or also hotels, service and hotels, like, have you had that experience yet? Or has it been
yes.
mainly?
No, yes, I have. Healthcare workers, I work with a lot of night shift workers, ironically. Yeah, because I do a lot of information meetings for night shift workers because they have a lot of risks that they might not be aware of. Night shift workers have a higher risk of breast cancer, prostate cancer, obesity, diabetes, and
really?
Other things. Mm. Yes, and obviously pregnant people shouldn't be working night shifts because it disrupts the rhythm and might disrupt the foster, the baby, baby's development. So yes, I try to inform night shift workers about these things so that they can take care of themselves, and also the employers can you know about these things as well. In regards to hotels, that's also, you know, shift work and 24-hour service and these kind of things. So it's similar.
Is there any lesson you've learned so far, you know, about your job going forward?
Well, I think the main lesson I've learned is that I thought the people in the highest position would know the most about the job. About the workplace, but I realize now that you have to have a combination of both employers and employees, and also your own observation to validate the information that you get from both groups to have an overall accurate picture of the workplace. Because the employers, they see, you know, the bigger picture and the process, the logistics of an operation, and the workers, they see their daily chores and their daily challenges at the workplace. So yeah, I always thought that it was best to go to, you know, the boss, but it's not always the case. Yeah.
So would you say that there are open, you know, options for young people that want to enter this line of work? Like, is there a lot of competition, or is there, you know, enough space for everyone?
There is not a lot of competition because it's a very unknown field, I would say. When I started this job, a lot of my previous colleagues, they thought I was going into this boring office job. That's what they thought it was. And I was just checking. Yeah. And I was just checking, like, healthy workers. There's like, what's the point of that? Right. Because it's just a health assessment. It's nothing wrong with them. We're just preventing things to happen in the future.
Right.
But I see now that because of, like, the work overload for young doctors and doctors in general at hospitals, more and more people are looking for a more balanced, you know, work-life schedule. And I think jobs like this would be more attractive in the future. And of course, there is a need for occupational doctors and occupational health workers in general. So, yeah.
Are there not enough today in occupational doctors?
No, I don't really think there is, because there's so many. If you think about how many people are working in a country, right? You have enough people to assess all of them and assess the workplace and make sure the work environment is healthy and good. I don't think there's enough, but but they do teach about the occupational medicine in medical school in Bergen for most of the semesters, like small parts. So I have hope that there will be more.
Could you do a bit of a shortcut on the occupational medicine? Like, do you have to go through the whole, you know, the entire curriculum for medicine, like general medicine, in order to then be specialized? Or can you go straight into the occupational medicine?
You have to do medical school and the internship before you can do a specialization anyway. But then again, my colleagues, my team is not only doctors, it's nurses, physical therapists, health and safety advisors. Like, there's so many different ways of working with occupational health.
I see. Okay. Yeah, you don't have to be necessarily just, you know, a doctor. Yeah.
No.
Physiotherapist.
So many people. Yeah.
Okay. You were talking about you wanted to have more balance and having less hours of work. Is there any compromise you think there you still need to be prepared to make for your job?
Well, it depends on, like, how much you engage in your job. For me, because I have a passion for working with these night shift workers because of my own experiences and my mom working a lot of night shift when I was younger. I do sacrifice like some evenings to go and have these information meetings in the night. I mean, not in the night, but late evening, because that's when the night shift workers go to work. So that's one thing. And another kind of, I wouldn't say sacrifice, but it's like a compromise is, you know, you have to kind of be the bad guy sometimes for an individual because you're thinking about a group. And I mean, sometimes I cannot certify offshore worker or seafarer because of their health, and I have to think of the risks for their colleagues. You know, if something should happen and they are maybe overweight or they have health issues that could risk the situation on board, then I have to kind of stop them from going out because it could cause a risky situation for their colleagues.
Yeah, I see.
So it's not always fun, but that's part of the problem. Yeah, I mean, it's really difficult to tell someone that I'm sorry, but you can't continue this work right now until your condition is assessed.
Yeah, sure. Is there something that you are proud of today from your job?
From my job? Well, I'm happy to see that people make changes, you know, when you suggest preventive measures and they actually do it and it makes it better for the workers. I've seen that in a couple of companies I worked with in 2022. And then when you go back to them in 2023, I saw like they've actually got better working shoes and they got preventive, you know, the protective gear. And yeah, so it kind of makes me maybe not proud because it's not my thing, but I did suggest it. And so it makes me happy that they, you know, follow through with the suggestions.
And on the flip side of the coin, is there something that you don't find or you don't find happiness or that you find more difficult?
Yeah, well, that's the thing about, you know, not sometimes you're not able to help everyone stay in their jobs. And that's always a bit sad. Some people end up working in jobs that they are literally allergic to, you know.
Yeah.
A baker who is allergic to flour. Imagine.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then you have to kind of they have to do reschooling and find a new career. And yeah, so that's difficult to tell them that, but we try to help them as well as we can.
And are there any other industries that you're looking at to cover in your profession? You know, you talked about oil and gas, factories, and night shift workers in the healthcare system. Is there anything else that you would like to explore in the future?
My cousin is a teacher, and she tells me a lot of stories. So I would really like to talk to teachers because I think that they are going through some really tough times right now and might need to, you know, the stress that they're experiencing might need some tools to manage those emotions and the stress that, you know, teaching right now.
Yeah. I see. Well, I hope that you will do that in the near future. And yeah, thank you. And I wish you all the best for the rest of your specialization. It's very interesting indeed. And I hope that it has sparked some interest in some of our listeners for future jobs and opportunities. And take good care. And hopefully I'll meet you soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
That was Varasha William, occupational doctor. If you'd like to listen to this episode again or more from the Job Tales series, go to worldradio.ch/jobtales or search Job Tales wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Laura Leoncini and I'll be back next week for another episode of Job Tales with a brand new guest at the same time next week on WRS.